As Tim was speaking to you on the love of a father, I've sat under some preachers that use the expression, God chose to love us. I've always felt that that was not accurate. You waiting on the arrival of your children, you didn't sit down and say, well, I'm going to choose to love them. No. It was because of the love of God the Father that He chose us. If He chose to love us, that meant that there was a time when He did not love us. And that is not true. Best to understand eternal love, that's what it is. Always has been, and it always will be. And then I want to ask you a question. We're calling on the wind of God to blow. And whoever wrote that, and they did that, I'm sure, from the Song of Solomon, and she requested it. And I think, for the most part, you're very sincere in asking that. But why are you asking for something that you do not know? Let me rephrase that. Why are we asking for something we do not know? There's just something within us that knows we're missing something. And it's just like your physical body, if it gets low of certain elements contained in vitamins and minerals, you begin to feel a deficiency. You might not know what is causing that, you just know something's missing. And so it is with us. We're looking and we're asking for that we do not know what it really is. And I don't know but what when He does appear again in the church, and it brings such adversity in your station in life that we might, from the natural, think we had it a lot better back then. We just went to church. Our lives didn't affect anyone. No one was complaining against our doctrine or our lifestyle. And yet, even with those thoughts in the back of our mind, we still can't help but ask, blow heavenly wind. A couple of weeks back, right after we had that first decent rain, after a period of no rain, Freddie was joking, thought we might have to be looking for a new preacher, but we got rain. And I come this morning knowing that if God the Spirit made application to what I trust that He will give, you either will be seeking the Lord in a way to obtain that you've lost, or you will be mad enough to get rid of me. Either way, it wouldn't matter with me if God would apply His Word. Now, if you would, turn with me to the 15th chapter of Luke. And I want to read only one verse here. And speak to you from verse number 8. And I'll rearrange the words a little bit in the last phrase of verse number 8 as a title. She seeks diligently till she finds it. Would you pray with me? Our Father, for Thy great name's sake, and for the exaltation of Christ, the one that we call Lord and Savior, would you, by Thy Spirit, grant that the Word of God might have free course, and there might be no objections or restraints within our hearts that would toss away this challenge. Lord, it's such a desperate hour and condition in which not religion and not the world, but we are in. We're fighting complacency almost an indifference to the very things that thou, O Lord, hast given us. And I pray, if it might be pleasing, that you'd give us the Spirit of God in preaching, in application, and in receiving. And with that we would become diligent seekers until we find thee. And awaken us from our form and our thinking that we found ye a long time ago. But let us find ye this day. And become to us in as great a degree as is possible to what you are to the saints in glory. Now help these dear souls. We pray in Christ's name. And for his honor and glory. Amen. Luke 15:8. Now there are three things lost in Luke 15. And we could spend a lot of time talking about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And we could in all of them see the work of the Father, the work of the Spirit, the Son, and even the church. And we could see that which caused all three of them to be lost. But I just want you to focus your attention solely upon verse 8 without us going into any depth of what all is contained in the chapter and just see the diligent effort that the woman made. And it is required of you and me. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, candle, a broom, and a diligent seeking. And seek diligently till she find. Now the silver was not really lost. It's still in the house. But to her, it really is gone. And unless it had been of great value to her, she would have made no effort to find it. Well, I got 9. I can get by with those. You will never hunt that which you've never possessed. And you can't lose that you do not have. Sad thing about today's Christianity is that folk can be told they have it, go through life thinking that they possess it, only to find out too late that they never did possess it. Salvation has become a deed that man can perform in regard to Christ, but it has left all that have made professions without a thirst and without a hunger and without a need to follow on to know Him. You've got to have all those, or you don't possess Him. Never has been a child of God born into the family of God that didn't have an appetite. And didn't get thirsty. And no matter what you've attained thus far in your walk with the Lord, you know that you have not yet attained unto that that is your possessions while here. They can accept Christ without ever a need to pursue to find the things that accompany salvation, and if doubt ever arises, they attribute that to the devil. It is only the children with life in their souls that go through periods of doubt to the point. A lot of folk will doubt, but the children doubt to the point that it concerns them greatly. And only the children go through seasons when they feel the possibility of being a reprobate. God's through. Not dealing with me. Hadn't dealt with me in a long time. And they feel that way due to the low ebb of that life that is in their soul and the inactivity of the Spirit in their hearts. You can never, nor will a child of God ever look at doubt and a feeling of reprobation as an assurance that I am a Christian. It's not. No child of God can rest in the fact that they doubt. And they can't rest in the fact that they feel like they might be a reprobate. But only as this creates within a diligent search to find out with a God-given certainty in my heart, I am a child. Sometimes big brother and big sister will kid with the younger, you don't really belong in the family. Mom and daddy found you in the woods, or they adopted you. And guess what that little one's going to do? He gonna go to mom and daddy and find out. How'd I get here? Did you really find me in the woods? Did you adopt me? They're gonna find out. And so it is with every child of God when doubt arises. And I think it was dear old Philpott that said, doubt in the soul is like pain in the body. It tells us something is wrong. Now, folk, one of the great comforting truths of God from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture is that our Father controls all things are in the hands of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And when the storm clouds begin rising on the in the distance, and they find themselves in the middle of a sea with strong winds and high waves raging, and they realize out there that their Lord is on the throne. And they know from the Word of God that not only the army in heaven, but all the inhabitants are under His eye, and He doeth according to His will. And when false prophets rise, and they have risen, if there's ever been a day when the pit, bottomless pit, has been opened, and demonic spirits in the form of men have risen on the scene, it's today. And when false prophets arise and evil abide, folk, we're living on the very brink of hell. You're going to go choose, if you go vote, between the worst of two evils. I mean, evil is all around. If God, for just a moment, and it seemed like that He's broken down all the walls around America, and the great river Euphrates has dried up, and the kings of the east have moved over. When the harlot spreads her wings to cover the world, and the wicked increase in society, in religion, and in government, our only comfort and rest is that nobody can move a hand or tongue against us apart from the sovereign control of God. But now listen, folks. There is a great danger that lies in that comforting truth. And that is that we oft will relinquish our responsibilities, and we'll rest, no matter what condition we're in, we'll pull up an easy chair and sit down and rest. Well, God controls all things, and there's nothing I can do. You're going to die right there. Unless you get a candle and you get hold of a broom and begin to seek diligently. Isaiah 64 said, there is none that calleth upon God. There is none that stirreth up himself. You may mean I'm not to live comfortably in my condition when I've lost something? Oh, no. No. None that stirreth up himself to take hold of God. And a slothfulness, a carelessness, and an indifference can settle in upon us, and we will become like the man that buried his talent in the earth. And he said, well, I knew you were sovereign. You reap where you didn't sow. I knew there wasn't anything I could do, so I buried it. And God said, why didn't you put it to the exchanger? I didn't give you your talent. I didn't give you that bit of information for you to settle down on a seat of indifference and rock yourself to sleep while you're missing some of the things I gave you. And we can become so involved in things here that we leave our spiritual interest in the hands of the Lord. Well, God take care of all that. I got to take care of me here. There you will die if God does not awaken. In Mark chapter 6, and straightway, verse 45, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side. And the wind was contrary, that is, it was opposed to them as an adversary. The one thing that none of them did was put down the oars, because Christ had told them to go to the other side. And he saw them toiling. That word means torment or vexed to the point that you are in pain. Have you labored to the point with everything that is blowing against us to the point that you hurt? Within modern evangelism and religion has taken away the seeking and the searching for God with the entirety of our hearts. None of you, preacher included, will ever value anything to the point you should that is freely given to you without any effort on your part. Well, you're thinking, doesn't the Bible teach us? Yeah, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, I'm ahead of you on that. The Bible does teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. He gave it that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now you take that verse and you try to convince one under the weight and condemnation and guilt and burden of sin. Say, well, God's provided and freely forgives and has given Christ in your behalf for your salvation, your righteousness, and sanctification. Go convince. Well, first of all, you can't find a burdened sinner to tell them that, but if you could, you can't convince them that God gave Christ for them. For they can't rest in a man's word, and they dare not rest there till God speaks peace in their heart. Now, how long is a convicted sinner going to seek? Until he, she finds. And I fear that many are now sealed up to an eternity of torment and pain because somebody's spoken peace unto them when there was no peace. We've even found a way to play on the emotions of the children. Now God can and has saved a child. There is no such thing as an age of accountability before God. They are accountable from birth to God. I know that you do not want to see your children hurt within, but I don't think there's a great danger of that today in the absence of the Spirit of God convicting. And if ever, and they all will, a child of God that has gone through agony, that is, in his or her own soul, they knew they were a sinner and that their sins were going to be the doom of them. Don't think there's ever been a child of God that's gone through the agony of searching and not knowing that they were going to find, that will ever take from the children and speak, Pete, everything's all right, sweetheart. But they'll shut them up to the Lord. You seek the Lord till you find Him. Now listen, mothers. You are more easily affected because you are moved more by your emotions. And I have seen parents destroy the work of the Spirit of God in their children. That's just an old preacher, outdated. You don't have to worry about him. Jesus loves you and doesn't want you to be burdened with grief and the weight of sinfulness. You really are a good boy or a good girl. If you've done that, or if you ever do that, you ought to be taken outside and whipped. For you may have taken away the only work of the Spirit those children will ever know. And if you do that, and you knew God, right there's where you lost Him. You can't treat His Spirit's work lightly. Now back to our verse in Luke 15. either what woman, she might be a widow, I don't know, but she's collected 10 pieces of silver, but she's lost one. Now that piece of silver was so needed that she lights a candle, she sweeps the house, and she seeks diligently till she finds it. Now let's get down to where we live. What have you lost as far as an awareness of God's presence? You lost that? Have you lost within the assurance of the Spirit witnessing that you are a child? Have you lost it? See, if you've never known what these are, there will never be a seeking for them. Is there a reality in your prayer that you are speaking with the living God? You know that? When you bow that knee or bow your head, do you know down within that you're speaking with God? The one true God. Have you lost vital communion? See, if you've never had it, you can't seek for it because you never owned it. Have you lost communication between God and your heart, reading His Word, sitting on a pew, and yet there is no communication? The book is so dead. And the preacher's just filling his duty of saying words, but they don't have any meaning to you? Or did they? And you lost it. Has there ever been a nearness between you and God? Has your heart ever gone after Him in holy pursuit, using the ordained means, a candle, a broom, maybe I need to clean up in here? Maybe He's departed because I'm holding on to some things I should not. Maybe He's departed because others have taken His place. You need a broom. You're pursuing Him using the ordained means, the candle of the Lord. God's got to light it. The broom, you got to pick it up. And how long are you supposed to see till you get back these things you've lost? See, if you are a child, you cannot rest in the fact that you once possessed them. If they were ever yours, you know when they are gone. And it's imperative. Whatever action is necessary, it must be taken to find them and hold on to them. You gotta get them back. By night, everything around me was dark. Everything within me was dark. The house had no light. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loved. She must have possessed him in time past. There must have been communion between the two of them to know that he's gone. Yeah, I know he's gone. But by night I sought him. But I couldn't find him. She gonna give up? No, she gets up. She gets dressed. I will rise now. I can't find him here in prayer. I will rise now and go about the city, and in the streets to the broad ways will I seek. Well, I found some watchmen that should have known, but they couldn't help me. But because of that within a determination, a diligent seeking, it was not long till I passed from them that I found him. Now, folk, if this language does not resonate in your soul, it is an absolute necessity with eternal consequences that you find out what she was talking about. I've lost the one I loved. And you find out because by personal experience you know what it is. The life of a Christian is filled with the appearances and the withdrawals of the heavenly bridegroom. Yet the church is in such a state that this is an odd statement. Withdrawals, appearances. We don't know either. Not as a church. I believe some of you as individuals know. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like those that go down to the pit. You lost the face of God. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. You ever had an awareness in your soul of the love of God to you? Psalm 69, your heart shall live that seek thee, Lord. And we've almost given up on that. Have you lost something? Is it today as it was with you in the beginning of your walk with the Lord? You've got to get honest in your soul to have any dealings with God. I think the last passage, Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verse number 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. He's talking about the watchman that he set on the walls, but he's talking about that in his people also. Do not keep silent. The people of God are to be a praying people even in times when the land is desolate and forsaken by the Lord. We couldn't have gotten in this mess we're in if God hadn't abandoned this nation. There's no possible way. And give him no rest. Keep not silent means don't grow weary in well-doing or negligent in your duty. And it appears to us like it did to the widow that kept going to the unjust judge. Get away from me. You're not my problem. But Christ said she kept going, and the unjust judge finally gave her a hearing and said, for me to be rid of her, I gotta grant her request. Now that's what Christ spoke to you about praying always. Give him no rest. That is the Lord. Till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. How long am I to diligently seek? Till I find that I've lost. But see, if you've never lost anything, you can go out of here very comfortably this day. And whatever celebrations you have planned. See a candle and a broom is just part of the solution. They're not enough. Well, I have a Bible. I attend the services. I have a great deal of knowledge of God, of the way of salvation, and the great doctrines therein. Good. But in all that, is there real, genuine seeking? Him? See, you can grow in knowledge apart from growing in grace. And God told you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Have you possessed things of the Spirit yesteryear, months back? Folks, God not only, Acts 17, I want to ask you to turn, but God not only set the bounds of the habitation of men, but He also fix the conditions around you. for one distinct purpose, that you might seek after Him. Well, God's not speaking, and the Spirit's very inactive today, so there's no need me keep on seeking. No, that's the very reason we all must keep on. And though God is absolutely silent to the world, you must not and you cannot live and with a silent God. You cannot. Whether He ever invades again the local assembly by His Spirit in our lifetime, you as individuals, you must be as diligent with a candle and a broom to find what you've lost. And see, some of you don't know anything about what I'm saying. You've never owned a piece of silver. And you've got no reason to go home and start searching. But you, the people of God, cannot live in God's sight. Now, you can't make Him talk, but you can seek Him for that purpose, and you can get yourself in a right position with a candle and broom and stillness and quietness within to hear. I stood up yesterday for a little while to kind of rest my back. And I noticed the activity of a bird with a nest out in the tree behind. And she went and dug in the ground, found, flew back to the nest, fed those. Looked like probably she was feeding four, maybe three or four little ones. She fed them, she went back. And that continued, I don't know how long. Now, are you seeking God in the behalf not only of yourself, but of these little ones here? You want to nourish and nurture them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You've got to get it first before you can give it away. And I hope that the message won't discourage you, but it'll challenge you. Because God never has turned down anybody or sent anybody away that diligently sought Him. You'll be the first one ever. And God will have to go against His very nature and character to say, no, you can't have these things.